لمن آموزش بدهد کشن حس در او داده که من وقتی بدهد تا سوال نیتی نداده نمسته سرسواتی دیده گوهر منی پجرده نیر بشش شنگ منی بست بجرده شترده Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Yes, how wonderful to be back with you again at the Prabhupada Prema Namahata. Prabhupada, our relationship with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, is really the key to everything worthwhile in Krishna consciousness or just in life, really. So I think it's very appropriate that this is the Prabhupada Prema Namahata. And bearing that in mind, devotees, you know what I thought we might do? I thought we might talk a little bit about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada King. First of all, what I'm going to do, first thing, is find a verse. There's a particular verse I have in mind. Let's see if I can find it. Acharya Mam Janyam Acharya Mam Janyam. Let's see if I can find it. Otherwise, I may be able to. Let's see if I can remember it. Oh, here we are. Yes, we. Acharya Mam Vijaniya Navamanyeta Karichit Namarcha Buddhya Suyeta Sarva Deva, my own guru, Acharya Mam Janiyam Navamanyeta Karinchit Namartya Buddhya Suyeta Sarva Deva, my own guru. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking of an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. This is verse, this is spoken by Lord Krishna from the 11th canto of Srila Bhagavata, Uddhava Gita. Lord Krishna instructing Uddhava. So anyway, that's a nice verse. A wonderful verse. Let us now refer to our Srila Prabhupada. Last night we did this also, we were in Sarnia. We had a little Prabhupada evening. So why not do it here? Let me tell you. Let me start with one little story. We had just got back to the Delta Manor. It's 1973, probably May or June, something like that. And Prabhupada came and stayed for some weeks. And just to see that things got established nicely. So and Prabhupada was giving class every morning from Bhagavad Gita, not from Srimad Bhagavatam. Normally it would be Srimad Bhagavatam, but now, for whatever reason, Prabhupada decided to give class on Bhagavad Gita. So he did. And one class, morning class came to a conclusion. Prabhupada asked if anyone had any questions. And the temple president from our Edinburgh temple in Scotland, he put his hand up and he said, Srila Prabhupada, in our temple in Edinburgh, well, it's a very old building and there are many rats. There are many rats. So, and rats, Prabhupada, rats can be dangerous, which is true. So, Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? You may have heard this story before, I've told it many times. And Prabhupada gave him one of his Prabhupada looks, which I cannot imitate. Like, you know, And Prabhupada said, if you kill the rats, then you should be killed. And temple president didn't quite get it. He sort of partially got it, but he didn't really get it. So he asked Prabhupada again, kind of rephrased it a little. Prabhupada, you know, it's a very old building, it's 300 years old, and there are many rats, and sometimes they bite people, and some they carry disease, so they're dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? And Prabhupada, without blinking an eyelid, Prabhupada said, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. You can think about that one in relation to your own situations. You know, probably, well, I don't know, but I doubt that you really have rats. You got to be in trouble to have rats. But you may have a few cockroaches. What to do about them? Anyway, okay, I'll leave that with you. You can figure that out. But I can tell you something about cockroaches. One day Prabhupada was in some temple somewhere and a cockroach just walked nonchalantly out. Life is going on. Here we are. And Prabhupada picked up the cockroach, opened the window, cockroaches sort of flapping a bit, and Prabhupada opened up the window and said, here, you can have the whole world to enjoy, and threw them out the window. Yeah. So in Edinburgh they had a lot of rats. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, we do not have rats. You know why? Because there were so many mice They ganged up against the rats, and they wiped out the rats. There are so many mice you wouldn't believe it. It was completely unreal, totally unbelievable. They were everywhere. You've probably heard me mention how when we would offer arete, mongolarete on the altar, I would sometimes offer the arete. And the mice, the kirtans going on, the mice would be dancing on the altar. Really? And so, you know, there we are trying to offer the arete, and there's the mice. And so we would stop and chase them off the altar. And off they'd go. And then we'd come back, pick up our agavati or whatever for offering, and they'd be back. Dancing on the altar again. So we asked Prabhupada what to do. What to do about the mice? Of course, we didn't suggest that should we kill them. That was obviously not on. But we asked Prabhupada what to do about the mice. And Srila Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer. Listen to this. Prabhupada said, they are not here for the association. They're here for food. And because there's food around here and there, therefore they're staying. So Prabhupada said, you must keep this place, you must make this place clean. And if you make it first class clean, they'll go. Because they're here for the food. And if there's no food, well, that's it. They will go. So, devotees and friends, we organized a cleaning party. It was a group of about four male devotees, brahmacharis. And it was their only service to clean the building. It's a big building. It's not a small building. Big building. That's all they did. From straight after breakfast until the evening, they cleaned the building. And they actually cleaned it two or three times a day. The whole thing, it was spotless, completely. But, devotees, you know what happened? The mice did not go away. And we concluded they must be here for the association. In their previous lives, they were devotees. It was uncanny. That place, you couldn't find a crumb, nothing, not a grain of salt. So then one devotee got a revolutionary idea. We got a cat. And you know what we named the cat? A female. Nrisingha Devi. And pretty quickly, within days, the mouse population declined drastically, and the Nrisingha Devi became very healthy. Anyway, I am sure. But let me tell you about when I got second initiation. When I got second initiation, it was 1974, and Srila Prabhupada called all of us, all the candidates for first and second initiation. There were probably plus or minus 10 devotees or something like that. So Prabhupada called us all into his room, or his main room, in Bhaktivedanta Manor. So there we were, And Srila Prabhupada came out and met with us. We offered obeisances. And Srila Prabhupada asked, "Are you all chanting your rounds?" And we were. So we said, "Yes, Prabhupada." But there were two young girls, like 18, 19, 20 years old, which was very young. And they looked down and giggled and said, "No, Prabhupada, we're not chanting our rounds." And you know what Prabhupada did? Prabhupada cancelled the entire initiation for everyone, including us who were chanting our rounds. I think you can imagine those girls were not very popular for a while. Anyway, it's okay. After a few weeks, the initiation was held. So, the way it was done was that the fire yajna was one day, and then Prabhupada gave those who received second initiation, Prabhupada gave them Gayatri mantras the following morning. Have you heard me tell the story before? Maybe? Anyway, so following morning, immediately after Mangalarati, 5 o'clock in the morning, a small group of us gathered outside Prabhupada's rooms, and one by one, we were sent in. And I was the first one. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, usually my mind, anyway, is not functioning completely as I would like. Still coming to consciousness. So I was a bit dizzy. I went in, offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting there behind his low table, sitting on the floor. And I sat down next to the table. So he's sort of on my left, kind of, to some degree. And Prabhupada looked at me. And Prabhupada saw I already had my Brahman thread on. You know, when you get sick of initiation, you get a thread. Here's my current thread right now. So I had on a chadar, just like a Harinam chadar, dhoti, and Brahman thread. And Prabhupada could see the Brahman thread. It was the first time I had been with Prabhupada alone. Just him and me. First time. So Prabhupada said in a very stern way, "Why have you got your thread on?" And honestly, I didn't know why I had my thread on or not. I just didn't know. Silence. Stunned silence. So Prabhupada waited a few seconds. Obviously, I wasn't going to answer. And Prabhupada said, "Who put it on you?" So that I answered. It was the person who did the fire yajna the day before, Rabbatananda Swami. So I told Prabhupada it was Rabbatananda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Why did he put it on you?" I didn't know why he put it on me. He just did. And then Prabhupada did a very interesting thing. Prabhupada called for the temple president, who was Mukunda Maharaj now. In those days, he was sort of he was wearing white, like a Vanaprastha. He was a temple president. So in came Mukunda, And at that time, you know, when Prabhupada would come, then many devotees would come to get Prabhupada's association. They would come to Bhaktivedanta Vana. Even devotees from different parts of Europe would come. So there was a good few hundred devotees in Bhaktivedanta Vana. And Mukunda Prabhu, you know, he's the president, he had to arrange everything, the prasadam, the cleaning, what's going on. And I was assisting, actually. I was what's called temple commander. So in came Mukunda. And Prabhupada said to Mukunda Prabhu, "Why has this boy got his Brahmin thread on?" Mukunda also stunned in silence. And Prabhupada said to him, "You must know, you are the temple president. You must know. Why do you not know?" And this is a detail. This is really a detail. And there's so many things going on. Big job. Big service. And which reminds me, let me just tell you another little Prabhupada story. One of our current GBC members, Badri Narayan Swami, very nice devotee from California, he had just become temple president in, I think, San Diego, like southern California, some one of those cities down there. So he just became temple president, and Prabhupada came and spent some days in the temple. And Prabhupada every day, every morning, he would go for a morning walk for at least half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Vigorous morning walk. So the temple president, Badri Narayan Swami now, he was a householder in those days. So Badri Narayan, he decided, "I want to ask Prabhupada a profound question about being a temple president and get some instruction, some deep, meaningful instruction, how to be temple president." So now they're on the morning walk, and Badri Narayan Prabhu, an opportunity arose. And so he stepped forward and he asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a temple president?" And you know, like I said, he was looking for some profound, subtle, deep instructions. Prabhupada replied, and this is a good one, because, you know, the temple president is one thing, but it also applies to the Namahata leaders, any leaders, right? So that's that. Really, it applies. So, Bhajanarayan asked, "What are the duties of the temple president?" Prabhupada answered, "Temple president is the person who, when anything goes wrong, it is his fault." What do you think of that? Temple president is the person who, when anything goes wrong, it is his fault. And Prabhupada walked on. That was the profound instruction. So remember that. I mean, you're sort of retired, but anyway, you know, you're still there. You've got to tune the youngsters. I can tell you a related story. There was this one devotee from South America. He came to London. And he had been like a very prominent brahmacharya. In those days, in the temples, there were many brahmacharyas, like 50, 60, 100 sometimes living. So he was from some place in South America, and he had been the big brahmacharya leader in the bright saffron clothes. But then, as happens with some people sometimes, he couldn't manage it. He was just too attracted to female association. So he got married. And it was sort of, in a sort of a sense, if you don't mind me saying, for the big brahmachari, it was a bit of an embarrassment. So what he did a funny thing. You know, household who wears white, as so many are here right now. Brahmachari wears saffron. He decided to wear white dhoti and saffron kurta, an interim phase. So gradually he adjusted to it a bit. And so then he came over to London and he told us he had been on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. A very similar situation. He had just become married and he wanted a profound instruction about grihastha life. How to live as a good Krishna conscious householder to make progress in Krishna consciousness. It's a nice idea. So he went on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And he got an opportunity. So he stepped forward and he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a Krishna conscious grihastha? Prabhupada stopped and looked at him, and Prabhupada said, be charitable, don't be miserly, and turned and walked on. What do you think of that? Now that devotee thought that Prabhupada, you know, maybe he was busy, or you know, he wanted something a little more substance to it. So he happened to be with Prabhupada a few weeks later, like 2 or 3 weeks later somewhere. And he thought, okay, you know, maybe Prabhupada didn't have time to give a good answer or something like that. So he decided to ask Prabhupada again. So again, on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and an opportunity arose, and he stepped forward, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, please tell me, what are the duties of a Krishna-conscious grihastha? And Prabhupada looked at him, and Prabhupada said, be charitable, don't be miserly, and walked on. Anyway, you can deal with that also yourselves. You can figure that one out. Aha. Okay, let's. I want to tell you a story. I actually told it last night, but I looked it up again and I found a little correction to it. So I'm going to, for those of you who were with us last night, I'm going to repeat it, but it's very slightly different. This is our Srila Prabhupada in London, 1972, before we got Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we just had a temple right in central London, right in the very center, practically. And Prabhupada would come, he would stay there. It was like a 4 or 5 story building, and many devotees were living there, at least 75 or so. Resident devotees were living there. So, and Prabhupada would give Bhagavatam class every morning. And Prabhupada would sit on a Vyasasan, something like this. And the altar was right next to him. Literally, he could almost stretch out his hand and touch Radha Nandan Ishwara, the Radha Krishna deities there. And the temple room then sort of went out in that direction. So, during the class, Srila Prabhupada stopped, and he turned around, and he looked at the deities, Radha and Krishna, Radha Bandhan, Ishwara, and they're sort of, 2 meters away, you could say. And Prabhupada looked at the deities for some seconds, and then Prabhupada became emotional, and he turned back to the devotees, and Prabhupada said, "I have captured Krishna. I have captured Krishna. I'm holding him here for you. Now you please come and take him." I was not there. I didn't join until January 73. But the devotees told us about it. Very amazing experience. "I have captured Krishna. And I'm holding him here for you. Please come and take him." In other words, Prabhupada is just giving a little revelation of his personal relationship with Krishna. And it's not just formality. Krishna is not just some deity or some authority figure, but there's relationship. "I've captured Krishna." Prabhupada would do like that from time to time. There were different occasions when Prabhupada expressed like personal feelings, or expressed himself like he was having a personal exchange with Krishna, with the deity. I remember one other time. It was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and Prabhupada was just about to start the class. And in Bhaktivedanta Manor, if you can imagine, this is the altar here, where the local altar is. Prabhupada is directly opposite, directly at the exact other end of the room, straight down. So, Prabhupada sang Jai Radha Radha. We all offered our obeisances. The way we would sit is, because we don't turn our backs to the deities, and of course we have to give our attention to Prabhupada, so we would sit facing into the center of the room on both sides. So the devotees are kind of facing each other directly, except we're looking at Prabhupada when he's giving the class. So there we are, we're sitting there, and Prabhupada's just sort of getting himself together. And we're looking back at Prabhupada, Then Prabhupada looked down, and Prabhupada looked down towards the deities in Bhaktivedanta Vedanta, Radha, Gokul, and Nanda. So now he's looking at the deities, and we are looking at him. Everyone's looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's looking at the deities. And Prabhupada said, Radha and Krishna are dancing very happily this morning. So we're looking at Prabhupada. Everyone turned to look at Radha and Krishna to see them dancing very happily. But they were just standing there as usual. And we understood that Prabhupada had a deeper vision, a deeper perspective. Yeah. A very personal perspective. There was another time in Los Angeles when the devotees put a long wig on Krishna there, Rukmini Dwarka Dish. You know, we use wigs for the deities. So they put a long wig, kind of, you know, here is coming down like to his waist, more or less. And again, Prabhupada sang Jai Radha Nanda. And then Prabhupada stopped. And now he's getting himself together to begin the class. And Prabhupada said to everyone, he said, the hair is too long. It is too long. It shouldn't be like that. It's too long. So then he gave the class. Then the class finished. And now Srila Prabhupada, stepping off the Vyasasan, he's still partially on the Vyasasan, but he stopped. In Los Angeles, the Vyasasan is kind of like here where I am, and the altar is like where the altar is here, something like that. So Prabhupada partially got off the altar, and enough of the Vyasasan looked at the altar, and Prabhupada said, actually, the hair is not too long. It is not too long. Prabhupada said, Krishna likes it. Krishna likes it. And that was that. It's a little personal exchange going on. There's another kind of related incident. Well, there's a few actually. One time, Prabhupada was giving class somewhere, and it may have been in India. And occasionally when Prabhupada was giving class in the middle of the class, he would ask a devotee in the audience to quote a verse. What is that verse? So there's Tamal Krishna Goswami, very, very senior devotee, and one another sannyasi, they were sitting together in the front. And Prabhupada pointed to them, what is the verse that he was referring to? And they looked at each other like, you can answer. But neither of them knew. And Prabhupada became a little strong with them. Prabhupada said, why do you not know? You're sannyasis. You should know. It means you are not reading my books. If you were reading my books, you would know. You must read my books. You must study my books. And then Prabhupada said, I need my books. I need my books. And Prabhupada said, you know why I read my books? Because I have not written these books. These books are written by Krishna. So therefore, when I read my books, I'm always discovering something new and interesting. So anyway, devotees, I hope you're reading Prabhupada's books. Should I ask you how many of you have read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, or should I not ask? I get the feeling I shouldn't ask. What if I ask next time? What do you think? Time after next time. After a while. Yeah. So your Prabhupada said like that, because they are not my books. Krishna has written these books. Here's a funny one. Fasten your seatbelts. I don't know if you'll appreciate this or not. But Prabhupada, one devotee got sick, and Prabhupada was informed. And Prabhupada laughed. And the devotees were surprised. Well, why is Prabhupada laughing when the devotee is sick? And Prabhupada said, when a devotee becomes sick, it is like Krishna giving, what do they call it? A love bite. Is that what they call it? A love bite. When a devotee becomes sick. Hare Krishna. Here's an interesting story which you've heard before. But you haven't heard the whole thing. There was a famous program in Glasgow, Scotland, 1972. Very famous program. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard about it at all. So it was a hall program which the devotees had advertised, and all these Scottish people came. And, you know, there was hardly an Indian person to be seen. It's like 400 or 500 just local Scottish people gathered. And Prabhupada gave a class. And then at the end of the class, Prabhupada asked for questions. And very famously, I'm sure you've heard, one man who had been sitting at the back stood up and loudly said, I am God. And there's Prabhupada sitting on the stage, sort of never saying where the altar is. The man straight down the back, and the man comes kind of, you know, slowly walking out. I am God. I am God. I am God. And he got right in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's up on the stage. So he's right there in the front. And the man just stopped and looked at Prabhupada, having said, I am God, like several times. And Prabhupada looked at him. And Prabhupada said, actually, you are not God. And then Prabhupada raised his voice and said, you are a dog. G-O-D-D-O-G. And the man just went into shock. And the people applauded and stood up and whistled. And you know, different types of social expressions like that. And Prabhupada was surprised by the reaction from the people. But then the man just turned around and walked out. So I imagine you've heard that story before. It's a real classic. But what you may not have heard is that when the program finished, a little later, it's an evening program. So then, Prabhupada got down and walked out, you know, straight down the middle to the main entrance or exit way. And one devotee went with him. His name was Tribhuvanath. Some of you have heard, I think, of Tribhuvanath, disciple of Prabhupada, very amazing devotee. Unfortunately, he passed away perhaps 10 years ago or something. So anyway, Tribhuvanath was in charge. He was like the leader in Scotland. And so he walked with Prabhupada to the door. And then, so he then went a little ahead of Prabhupada and opened the door. And then he stepped out, because the stairs were immediately just outside the door. He stepped out a step or two in front of Prabhupada, holding the door open. And Prabhupada stepped, or sort of leant forward, and with both hands, he rubbed Tribhuvanath's head, sort of massaged his head for a few seconds, and said, "I'm very pleased with what you've done. Now you preach this Krishna consciousness all over Scotland." So Prabhupada, when devotees tried, when devotees really made an effort to render some service, and particularly for spreading Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada really appreciated. He really appreciated. And you might say, of course, you know, it's easy to say, Prabhupada left this world already, however many years ago, many more than 40 years, or 43 years ago. So Prabhupada's gone, and we're here, so what? But Prabhupada is a transcendental person, and he is connected with Krishna. Really connected. So he knows what is going on, he knows what we're all doing, and he knows what we're all not doing, or doing wrong, he knows. But at least, if we really try our best, then Prabhupada will be very merciful. And he'll tell Krishna, please be merciful to these devotees from Lotus Path. Seriously. Here's a little story. I'm just going one by one. I've got a whole collection of Prabhupada stories. Here's an interesting little one. It is to me. Prabhupada's humility. So again, it was 1972, we didn't have Lamana. Prabhupada staying in this central city temple, which was not very big, but anyway, there he was. And Prabhupada, one day, in the temple room, sang the song. You might be familiar with it, you might not. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. You know that song? Gokula Tarini Mandala Mayate. Very beautiful song by Jayadev. So, Prabhupada sang a song. Then Prabhupada came out of the temple, and some devotees were just singing, just continuing to sing the song to themselves. It's particularly glorifying Srimati Radharani. So one devotee was putting on Prabhupada's shoes as Prabhupada stepped outside. Another devotee was right next to Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, you are Srimati Radharani's mercy personified." And Prabhupada just looked away and looked down to where this other devotee was putting his shoes on, putting Prabhupada's shoes on for him. And Prabhupada quietly said, "Radharani's mercy contaminated." This is the humility of Srila Prabhupada. Here's an interesting little story. Short, very short little story. There's one devotee. He hasn't been to South Africa yet. We must invite him. He is just really special. And he had very close association with Prabhupada. His name is Trivikram Swami. And he's just really nice. So one time he was with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, they were talking about different devotees. And Trivikram Swami said, "You know, what about such and such?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh yes, he's a very nice boy." And Trivikram Swami said, "Well, what about Raghunath Bhatta?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh yes, he's a very nice boy. And what about this one? Oh, he's a very nice boy. And what about that one? Oh yes, he's a very nice boy." And then Trivikram Swami said, "You know, Prabhupada, we love you so much because you're such a nice boy." And then he realized the Prabhupada wanted to do. Prabhupada, you're such a nice boy. Okay. I could tell one or two more stories. Do we have any questions? Are we doing that? Any paper going around? Not really. Okay. Here's an interesting little story. One devotee, he was a book distributor, living in the temple, going out every day, distributing books for several hours a day. But when you do that, you know, particularly in a place like America or very westernized place, where you don't get a lot of Indian people, but it's all just the local people. So that devotee was getting a bit depressed because he would, every day he would meet a few people who would tell him, "Why don't you get a job? Why are you begging?" And of course, not exactly begging, trying to distribute books and collect donations, but some of the people, nasty mentality, they take it like that. "Why are you begging? Why don't you get a job? You're parasites." People would say that. I mean, many people said it to me. So many. Yeah. So he met with Prabhupada and expressed his, you know, anxiety, his feeling of disturbance. And he said to Prabhupada that many people think, we're just trying to escape responsibility. We're just trying to escape material life by joining the Sankirtan movement. And, you know, it's just a weakness. And we shouldn't do like that. And Prabhupada turned to the devotee and smiled and said, a rich man, does he work? We are rich men, Prabhupada said. We are rich men. We don't work. Any rich man, he is not working. Is he escaping? No. He's engaging everyone in the factory. But he is not working. So, we are rich men because we are Krishna's sons. And Krishna is the richest man. So in other words, don't get affected by it. Okay, I think one last story. Yeah, here's a nice story. The story comes from Bhava Nanda Prabhu, very old devotee. He used to be involved in the running of the Mayapur project. So one time he was with Prabhupada up on the roof of the one building that was there in those days, like, I don't know, 75 or 76 or something. There was only one building, and the rest was rice fields. So Prabhupada, he was there, and a couple of other devotees, and Prabhupada was speaking to them. They're on the roof, looking out around Mayapur, the Ganges is across. And it's very beautiful, lush, green, tropical scene. And Prabhupada started speaking that we are developing Mayapur. We want the whole world to come and see how wonderful is Mayapur. It's so beautiful. But then Prabhupada said, but this material world, it's so horrible. It's so horrible. And Prabhupada said, I didn't want to come here. But Krishna told me, you must come. The people need your books. And Prabhupada said, I told Krishna that Krishna, I don't want to come. It's too horrible. But Prabhupada said, but Krishna told you, no, you must come. They need your books. So like this, from time to time, Prabhupada will give revelations, like very special, transcendental revelations of his very special transcendental position. Okay, so here's one last story. This story is Prabhupada tells a joke. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts because it's X-rated. If you know what that means. It's a bit, you know, otherwise. Prabhupada told a joke. One devotee in one temple, one night, had a big feast. A big feast. Late, last thing at night. And he just finished, last thing he finished was one golden brown kachori. Deep fried, effulgent, golden brown color, succulent. And it was probably paneer and sweet corn. And so he ate that, and that was it. Bang. Finished. He went to bed. immediately. Next morning he woke up, and suddenly, oh, powerful call of nature, run to the bathroom. First thing, into the bathroom, and past stool. And then he stood up, but he turned around and looked at the stool. And he said, "Look at you. You are so horrible. Look, smelly. You're terrible." And the stool replied, "Don't speak to me like that. Last night I was that samosa. But after just one night's association with you, see what happened to me." So Srila Prabhupada told this joke. Srila Prabhupada King. Srila Prabhupada King. Srila Prabhupada King. God bring him over here. Okay, so now it's good.